After a moment's reflection, Ernest calls to Tweenie.
Are you very busy, Tweenie?
There's always work to do. But if you want me, Ernest...
There's something I should like to say to you if you would spare me a moment.
Willingly. What is it?
What an ass I used to be, Tweenie.
Oh, let bygones be bygones.
I'm no great shakes even now. But listen to this, Tweenie. I have known many women, but until I knew you, I never knew any woman.
To Tweenie's uneducated ears, this sounds dangerously like an epigram.
Take care! The bucket!
I didn't mean it in that way.
Ernest goes chivalrously on his knees.
Ah, Tweenie, I don't undervalue the bucket, but what I want to say now is that the sweet refinement of a dear girl has done more for me than any bucket could do.
Are you offering to walk out with me, Ernie?
More than that. I want to build a little house for you in the sunny glade down by Porcupine Creek. I want to make chairs for you and tables and knives and forks and a sideboard for you.
I like to hear you. Would there be anyone in the house except myself, Ernest?
Not often, but just occasionally. There would be your adoring husband.
It won't do, Ernest.
It isn't as if I should be much there.
I know, but I don't love you, Ernest. I'm sorry.
Twice a week, I should be away altogether at the dam. On the other days, you would never see me from breakfast time to supper.
It's no use, Ernie.
Thank you, Tweenie. Can't be helped. Tweenie, we shall be disappointing the Gov.
What's that?
He wanted us to marry.
You and me? The Gov?
Her head droops woefully. From without is heard the whistling of a happier spirit, and Tweenie draws herself up fiercely.
That's her. That's the thing what has stole his heart from me.
A stalwart youth appears at the window, so handsome and tingling with vitality, that, glad to depose Crichton, we cry thankfully, the hero at last! But it is not the hero, it is the heroine. This splendid boy, clad in skins, is what nature has done for Mary. She carries bow and arrows and a blowpipe, and over her shoulder is a fat buck, which she drops with a cry of triumph. Forgetting to enter demurely, she leaps through the window.
Drat you, Polly. Why don't you wipe your feet?
Come, Tweenie, be nice to me. It's a splendid buck.
But Tweenie shakes her off and retires to the kitchen fire.
Where did you get it?
I sighted a herd near Penguins Creek, but had to creep round Silver Lake to get to windward of them. However, they spotted me, and then the fun began. There was nothing for it but to try and run them down, so I singled out a fat buck, and away we went down the shore of the lake, up the valley of rolling stones. He doubled into Brawling River and took to the water, but I swam after him. The river is only half a mile broad there, but it runs strong. He went spinning down the rapids, down I went in pursuit. He clambered ashore, I clambered ashore. Away we tore, helter-skelter, up the hill and down again. I lost him in the marshes, got on track again near Breadfruit Wood, and brought him down with an arrow in Firefly Grove.
Aren't you tired?
Tired? It was gorgeous.
Mary runs up a ladder and deposits her weapons on the joist. She is whistling again.
Huh. I can't abide a woman whistling.
I like it.
Drop it, Polly. I tell you.
I won't. I'm as good as you are.
Is this necessary? Think how it would pain him.
Mary's eyes take a new expression. We see them soft for the first time.
Tweenie, I beg your pardon. If my whistling annoys you, I shall try to cure myself of it.
Instead of calming Tweenie, this floods her face in tears.
Why, how can that hurt you, Tweenie dear?
Because I can't make you lose your temper!
Indeed, I often do. Would that I were nicer to everybody.
There you are again! What makes you want to be so nice, Polly?
Only thankfulness, Tweenie. It is such fun to be alive.
So also seem to think Catherine and Agatha, who bounce in with fishing rods and creel. They, too, are in manly attire.
We've got some ripping fish for the Cubs' dinner. Are we in time? We ran all the way.
You're pleased to cook them yourself, Kitty, and look sharp about it.
Tweenie retires to her hearth, where Agatha follows her. Catherine is cleaning her fish.
Has the Gov decided who is to wait upon him today?
It's my turn.
I don't see that.
It's to be neither of you, Aggie. He wants Polly again.
Mary is unable to resist a joyous whistle.
Polly, you toad!
But they cannot make Mary angry.
How dare you look so happy?
I wish, Tweeny, there was anything I could do to make you happy also.
Me? Oh, I'm happy.
Tweeny remembers Ernest, who is easy to forget on an island.
I've just had a proposal, I tell you.
Mary is shaken at last, and her sisters with her.
A proposal?
Not.
Catherine dare not say his name.
You needn't be alarmed. It's only me.
Oh, you.
Ernest, you dear, I got such a shock.
It was only Ernest.
Catherine shows him her fish in thankfulness.
They are beautifully fresh. Come and help me cook them.
Do you mind if I don't cook fish tonight?
Catherine does not mind in the least. They have all forgotten him. A lark is singing in three hearts.
I think you might all be a little sorry for a chap.
But they are not sorry.
I'm particularly disappointed in you, Aggie, seeing that I was half engaged to you. I think you might have had the good feeling to be a little more hurt.
Don't bother.
I shall now go and lie down for a bit.
Ernest retires coldly but unregretted. Mary approaches Tweeny with her most insinuating smile.
Tweeny, as the Gov has chosen me to wait on him, please may I have the loan of it again?
The reference made with such charming delicacy is evidently to Tweeny's skirt.
No, you mayn't.
Don't you give it to her.
We know quite well that he prefers to be waited on in a skirt.
I don't care. Get one for yourself.
It's the only one on the island.
And it's mine.
Tweeny, give me that skirt directly.
Don't.
I won't.
I shall make you.
I should like to see you twat.
An unseemly fracas appears to be inevitable, but something happens. The whirr is heard again, and the notice is displayed. Dogs delight to bark and bite. Its effect is instantaneous and cheering. The ladies look at each other guiltily and immediately proceed on tiptoe to their duties. These are all concerned with the master's dinner. Catherine attends to his fish. Agatha fills a quaint toast rack and brings the menu, which is written on a shell. Mary twists a wreath of green leaves around her head and places a flower beside the master's plate. Tweeny signs that all is ready, and she and the younger sisters retire into the kitchen, drawing the screen that separates it from the rest of the room. Mary beats a tom-tom, which is the dinner bell. She then gently works a punka, a large ceiling fan, which we have not hitherto observed, and stands at attention.